This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me through either of those addresses. You can re-listen to this program or read my weekly meditation on my website, and you can also send me your address if you would like to be placed on the mailing list for Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. Just let me know that you would like it. Give me your address and I'll send it on to them. You may need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1. We spent a long time on the first chapter. It's a long chapter. And we've noted that we're looking at the birth of the Lord. And Luke looks at the Lord particularly from the vantage point of the Son of Man. He looks at it from the standpoint of a Gentile, a one who is not a Jew. And so it's particularly appropriate to those of us today to understand the Gospel of Luke and to appreciate it. Now, we're going into the Thanksgiving season and then ultimately into the Christmas season. And we need to understand the background of the Lord in order to properly worship Him during these seasons. I think Thanksgiving is perhaps the most godly of our holidays. It seems to be based on a Christian theme, and it seems to be divorced from all pagan worship, whereas Christmas can be a mixture of truth and error. And so it's well to understand what God is saying in the Gospel of Luke about the birth of the Lord, so that we who are truly saved can worship Him appropriately, and so that those who do not know Him will come to know not a Savior that they would like to believe in, not a Savior of their own vain imagination, but the Savior of the Bible, who is so much better than anything that man could dream up. All of man's saviors require man to do something to earn their salvation, but our Savior, this Savior that we're reading about in the Gospel of Luke, came as the Son of Man without losing His character, as the Son of God, and He died for our sins, and it is what He has done for us that takes us to heaven, makes us fit for a life in fellowship with Him. And it, even though we do know that what we do demonstrates our love for Him, the basis of our relationship with Him is based on what He has done for us. We can relax in the truth that Christ died for us, but in order to understand that He died for us, we need to understand that He was the very Son of God who came according to prophecy and was born in Bethlehem according to prophecy, as we'll see today, and then ultimately ended up back in Nazareth where He was raised and where He was called a Nazarene, and we will recognize that as a Nazarene, He grew up in a despised place. Bethlehem was the city of David. Nazareth was a despised place, and ultimately, the world has despised the Lord that I love. They may say they worship Him, but ultimately, the Bible tells us that the world at large is opposed to the Lord that I worship and love. Now, let's read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, which says, "And it happened in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to be taxed, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David. And he took Mary, his betrothed wife, his engaged wife, being with child. And while they were there, the days for her deliverance were fulfilled. And she brought forth her son, the firstborn, and wrapped him and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of His word. So now we have had the birth of the Lord prophesied. We have seen Mary rejoice at the fact that she's the handmaiden that the Lord has chosen to bring this Messiah into the world. We have seen Elizabeth rejoicing in the fact that God is speaking again and that the Lord is moving and that redemption is coming. And so as we look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, we see that God used an ungodly ruler to accomplish his purpose as to where this baby was to be born. When we go back to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "And you, Bethlehem Ephratah, you being least among the thousands of Judah, out of you he shall come forth to me to become ruler in Israel, he whose goings forth have been from old, from the days of eternity." Ephratah is the name used here, Bethlehem Ephratah, because Ephraimites live there. In some places this is called Bethlehem Judah. And we can see that this is where David was raised, and so it was the city of David. And when we look at the lineage of both Mary and Joseph, both of them can trace their lineage, we find, back to King David. So as we look at this birth of the Lord Jesus, prophecy said he was to be born in Bethlehem. But Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. And so it took the taxing by this ruler, Caesar Augustus, it took that tax, that polling, to register them in Bethlehem at the appropriate time when the Lord was to be born so that prophecy could be fulfilled. And I know that this is not a great miracle like healing the sick or raising the dead, but it is a miracle nonetheless and gives us confidence in the plan of God and the prophecies of God, particularly as they relate to the Lord Jesus. And that is one of the reasons why those of us who trust the truth of the Bible trust it, because God had told us where the Lord was going to be born. He had told us how he was going to die. He had told us so many things about the Lord in the Old Testament, that he would be born of a virgin, and those things were fulfilled years later. And an inquiring mind would have to say, how could this be? And the only way it could be is if we understand that this was the plan of Almighty God, and it was being fulfilled miraculously. And so he was born in the right way of the Holy Spirit. He was not really Joseph's son. Joseph raised him. He was born in the right place in Bethlehem to the right parents. Both could trace their lineage to King David. So as the Son of Man, he has a legal right to the throne. And as the Son of God, he has a legal right to the throne. And as the Messiah, he was the coming king. But we'll see as the story unfolds that the king that is coming is the king that was rejected when he presented himself to Israel. Religion and the religious people rejected him, whereas the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, the Gentiles, they, as well as the Gentiles, they accepted him. And so as we begin to look at this, we can see the miraculous hand of God in the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so when we look at this plan of God, it's interesting that his plan made Mary, who was a righteous girl, look as though she had sinned. And I can imagine that there was a stigma attached not only to Mary, but to the Lord all the days of the Lord's life, because Mary and Joseph were not married and Mary's pregnant. And how could this be? This just doesn't happen. Now, it does happen according to prophecy. And you might say, well, I'm not convinced it happened, but the Lord was still a good man. Look, either the Lord was born of Mary and conceived by the Holy Spirit, or he was not. God either is telling us the truth or he's not. And in order for the Lord to be my Savior, he had to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And so I believe that even though Mary probably had a dark shadow over her because she had become the handmaiden of the Lord, even though that had happened, yet She was a righteous girl, and Joseph was righteous in taking her to be his wife and later producing children and raising a family by her, because the Lord did have brothers and sisters. We read about that in the Gospels, and we see it when we go to the book of James, James, the brother of the Lord. We find out that the Lord did in fact come from a union of the Holy Spirit and of Mary. And so I'm thinking that there's a lot of times when we're working for the Lord and people criticize us, and perhaps even you if you're working for the Lord today, and you know what you're doing is right, but others might think that what you're doing is wrong. Now, if you have a good conscience before God, you need to remember that even Mary would have been painted with a scarlet letter A if she had been a part of the Puritan economy, a part of the Puritan worship in the early days of our colonies. She would have been painted with a scarlet letter, because natural man cannot accept what God was doing through her, but she was righteous. We need to be careful when we judge people, when we assume that they have done something against God. We need to be careful to sit down with them and not to prejudge the work of God. Often the Lord uses what we do not expect him to use to accomplish his purposes. He used an ungodly ruler to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, and he uses a righteous gal who is not married to bring his son into the world, and this was all righteous and it was all of God. But yet when the Lord is born, they come to this inn, and there's no room for him in the inn. Now, I realize that I'm speaking symbolically, because apparently they went out of their way to try to find a place for Mary and Joseph, even though they couldn't bring them to the inner part of the inn. But at the same time, when it says there was no room for him in the inn, it makes me aware that what I said early in the program is still true, that there really is no room for the God who has been revealed in our Bible in the hearts of most people today. There's no room for him in our lives. In many places, there's no room for him in our homes. And even sometimes in our churches, we take the Word of God and we change it to agree to what we want rather than believing what God wants. And by doing that, we're really not worshiping the God of this Bible. And so we need to be careful that we have been truly converted, that we have been truly repentant, that we have quit arguing with God, and we are accepting the truth of God about Christ and about what he has done for us. That truth is so much better than the truth of man that we often substitute for the truth of God. And it's the truth of God that says that this is the Messiah, that he came into the world to save sinners. Paul could say, of whom I am chief, and I hope there's been room for him in your life and in your heart. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just ask thee to bless our lesson. We pray for blessing upon those who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We just commit this program to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.